Brass Dax, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, hello.
Good afternoon, how are you, sir?
I am all right, and you?
I am quite well.
Good.
Okay,
stay
good.
Okay.
I'm actually calling relative to the video that has been circulating on social media that was done by the young lady. Mm-hmm. What has transpired is that there's more to the mortar than the pestle. The young lady is a member of a group called the Steering Committee. Mm-hmm. So what she has been doing, she's the one that has been responsible for the videos that were circulated about the mass of people in Whole Town partying without masks.
Okay.
Okay, not only that, people have been critical of her video. A lot of people have made a lot of xenophobic remarks because she has an accent. I believe that this lady has done the country a great service. All right? Mm-hmm. I am the person who actually posted the video on her behalf. Mm-hmm. All right? And what is not known is that a staff member is who would have went to her first and complained about them having to serve these people with the red bands. If anyone will look at the video, the second video, carefully, they would see a staff member taking up a glass next to a couple of these people sitting in the lounge chairs. All right? And they would see that these people are, they were Barbadian staff among them. These are the same people who have to catch public transport and also mix with their families. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, after what transpired, and she did the video, all right? You would have noticed also that another video was circulated where the police accosted her. Now, the actual happening with the police did not occur the same day. It occurred the next day. And if you would notice, if anyone looks at the video carefully, they would note that the police are, when they're speaking about Treasure Beach, they're pointing in a, well, they were pointing away. She was not on the premises of Treasure Beach at that point in time, all right? And a lot of people are not really aware that the, just like you with your home, where your property has a perimeter, there's a section away from your perimeter which you have control over, okay?
A verge, it's called.
Yes, a verge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
No, with beachfront property, it is the high water mark.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The high water mark on beachfront property is what the cartel has control over. It's not that they own it. It's that they have control over it because nobody owns the beach. All beaches in Barbados are public. Now, the measurement to determine the high water mark is usually made like after ordinary high tide, usually about 6, 7, 4, 8 days before or after the day of a full moon. Okay? So owners of beachfront property will at some point in time notice that they are, at one point in time they own more land or they own less, or they're in control of less land. It has a lot to do with the accretion or the erosion of the sand at that point in time. So there's no boundary, so to speak. Now, when the police were speaking to her, she was nowhere near the high water mark. All right? And the police had asked her to move on. Now, it's different from in Bridgetown because they heard an example made to you by a gentleman speaking about in Bridgetown. The police can tell you move on if you're an obstruction to pedestrian traffic, if you're on the sidewalk, or an obstruction to an entrance. As you said, you were in front of Kay Shepherd. Okay? That, and the police has the right to do that because it's just like traffic, you are pedestrian traffic. Okay? Now, you would notice that the next day after the video, the chief medical officer would have passed a directive stating that that the tourists with the red bands are supposed to stay in room. Because that is how it is supposed to be done. The World Health Organization has put in place protocols whereby those people, if you see what I said in Australia, they are supposed to stay in room. They're not allowed to interact with staff or anything of the sort. Their meals are put up in front of the door, and they have to wait 10 seconds before they come for their meals. The menus, they're not even handed menus. It's done via television. They have to do everything inside until that second test has been approved because of it's a pandemic, okay? Now, it is something that we need to look at here in Barbados very, very seriously, and that is why this young lady, a member of the steering committee, has been doing that on the West Coast because there are lots of things that need addressing, okay? This steering committee has affiliates in England and Canada, etc., but they're a group that deals with wrongs, anomalies within society, within government, you know, within corporate, within individuals. So, and I am a member, and we usually get a lot of complaints before government, etc. And this was one, a staff member complained to her. The staff member was afraid for their family. So they just making some clarification so that people can realize there is more to it than just that.
Okay. Sir, two things. Hello. Two things, just two things. One, there's a wrong way to do the right thing. One. Two,
yes,
two. It does not, you talked about more than one video and you talked about the background to the story, and I thank you for doing it. I gave you the time to explain yourself and you did so well. If persons choose to take bits and pieces of the entire video, number of videos, and circulate it, can you see how an impression would be created that is contrary to the one you've just tried to create?
Right. I understand what you're saying.
Right. So there is the first complication. The second complication is when, and I've read some of the messages that have been sent, I have not commented on it because they're more than one side to his story. You've just put yours. When people talk about the language used, when they talk about abusive language, you talk about the police telling her to move. When people select bits and pieces of what have happened and spread it around to pursue their own agenda, which may run counter to the one you're trying to use, what you have is confusion in the community. And people who may be on your side may be turned against you because of what's in circulation, or the part which they saw, or whatever it is, or the comments of their friends. The challenge with social media and what's happening with the circulation of recorded material and some audio in some cases that can be doctored, can be changed, can be selectively cropped and used, is that there is very little control by the person who originally does the recording, and the purpose for which they're trying to promote sometimes becomes counterproductive to what they're trying to do. Yeah.
Okay, that's
and
correct.
It's one of the things we have to be careful about, especially when we're agitating for change, because change is difficult for a lot of people. Huh? And when you talk about, and I mentioned it in a previous conversation, this entire conversation about high watermark and how far, you know, the responsibilities of properties extend, this has always been a contentious issue, and it continues to be. You hear it where beach chairs are placed. You hear it with swim areas. You heard it coming up with the play park off of Brandon's Beach. You hear it all the time, and more especially on beachfront properties in Barbados. Even people who don't go to the beach start complaining about things that are happening on the beach once it comes to the fore.
And you have to be, listen,
I'll say this to you, huh? And I'm saying this with honesty I can muster at the moment. The more people pay for a particular service, is the more they expect, and it's the more they seem to be granted leeway to do. And it is an unfortunate thing, but there are times when you question what's happening, that response will be, you know what I'm paying to come here, man? Have you heard that response?
I understand that.
Yeah,
understand
and,
that.
And that's the difficulty. And that's the difficulty.
That.
You know, so you may see someone who they're breaching the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to, you know, protect yourself and those you care about. As you say, show a wrong and have it corrected.
Yes.
And the response is, man, them people paying real money, they ain't upsetting you. What are you getting involved with this for? And the people who are telling you that, they're genuine in what they say. It's just that they're wrong. I think they're wrong.
Okay, obviously.
I think they're wrong. But that's what happens. And then that person keeps pushing the boundary further and further and further, and we end up, you know, where we are.
We give them all the leeway. So
yeah, giving them all the leeway, we just turn a blind eye.
Yeah. if there's a question as far as first things first, when she said that I did not doctor, it was doctored. I wanted to take out the expletives, but I could not, and I would have spoken to her about that, and she has apologized about it because she was generally angry. Okay, all right.
I hear all that, you know, sir. I just tell you how it comes across.
I understand that that has caused angst.
Yeah, it will. It will.
All right, but whatever, the thing is that it has done what it was intended to do. Okay,
which is alert the public.
Other than that, where there's a query as far as to the beach marks are concerned, if you can check the coastal management zone unit.
Yeah, so I checked.
394.
So I checked when the question came up. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And that's why in conversation, when the person asked me about Paradise Beach, I told them that from my experience working there, the riptides, especially at this time of the year, altered the south coast and the beaches around there quite dramatically. Let me put it that way.
Well, what people do not realize, though, is that you're actually supposed to be 100 feet away from that high water mark. But the minister can give, the minister responsible for that,
can give permission
to build further in. Yeah.
Okay, people don't wait on permissions, you see.
Okay.
They put down grinds and they put down, you know, walls and walkways
That's right. Yeah. Okay, accessways, et cetera, et cetera. I just wanted to make some clarification of that.
And I allowed you to do it, sir.
And I am extremely grateful for it, okay?
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. You're welcome, sir. Enjoy
all right, you too. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Am I
on?
You are.
Right, Mr. Johnson, good afternoon, sir. How do you do?
I am doing all right, I think.
Well, you sound so. Yeah, as an old sort of a radio service, I'm happy when I talk to you. I'm sure that you know that. Only recently, we were in a very lengthy conversation, which I would not expose.
All right.
And your feedback was good, and your correspondence is excellent as usual. Now, let us talk. I heard, is that Mark Williams, Mr. Johnson, who always comments about the Back Rock Polyclinic?
He spoke to me earlier today, I heard Mr. Williams in conversation with me. Yes, sir.
Right. Now, let us talk about the Back Rock Polyclinic. Unfortunately, I am someone who attend there fairly regular. Mm-hmm. I'm not a young pigeon. No, I'm going 60 years.
And only 60, you young man.
Yes, sir. Yeah, John Oman. And there are aches and pains. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago, there was no pains, but there are no arthritis and acid reflux.
Okay, yeah.
I can tell you about Mr. Johnson.
Old
I'm age pains.
Up.
I'm pain-proof. But you know something? I believe in God, and I'm a praying person, and because of God, we are all here. You, I, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bradford Polyclinic, what I want to say about the guards that we have down there, Mr. Johnson, I'm not here to bash our security guards. I'm not here to put nobody out of work because they are appointed public servants, which you know. But I'm sure there is still some kind of dignity or some kind of pride where your work can be executed. You're
correct.
There?
Correct.
Now, when you come into Polyclinic, Mr. Johnson, you speak to a nurse. You have to tell the nurse your medical issue, your medical problem before you pass to the doctor. I am very unhappy where there is a guard who is just very in the social distance. He's approximately six inches or 1 foot away from the nurse. Now, we as patients, we are not happy telling a nurse your issue and a guard looking in your mouth.
Agreed. So
are
I
you
agree with
her?
I agree with you, sir.
Foolishness.
No, I agree with you. If that's the case, it should not happen because patient, nurse, doctor is confidential. I mean,
it should be.
Sometimes the doctor, nurse shouldn't even hear what you're telling the doctor.
Exactly. So you find that you're telling the nurse your problem and the guard looking in your mouth, but you're not happy about that.
I mean,
there are two guards down there, and I don't even see one of those guards make a patrol around the building sometimes. These two guards are always out there dealing with patients. Now, you have to the guy is in charge of that. You write your name, where you're going, mm-hmm. to the doctor, who's going to the dispensary. Right. Those names are written on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And the guard, he calls out the name. He take care of everything like that there.
Right.
I am saying that there should be some distance among these two people. And you just told me that I'm correct. Am I correct?
Sir, listen. I know whether you correct, I correct, or we both. But I agree. Because
you
I'm
agree?
Telling you, if I go to my doctor and I have a itch in a delicate area, I want the nurse lying up next to me, and that's the nurse or the receptionist that I have to tell, I come to see Dr. X, I want us lying up next to me,
right.
having that conversation with my doctor.
I recall I was accompanied with my wife. I told her, come and go along with me,
right.
because I have a medical issue, and this is my wife.
Right.
I'm telling the nurse my problem, her problem,
mm-hmm.
my wife is alongside me,
mm-hmm.
and also the guard.
And the guard. So you have a wife and a keeper.
I had a problem with that day, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I tell you, I agree with you. I would have a problem with it too, personally.
And another thing about a guard, I'm sure that listening to you on the radio, you know it all. You know a lot. You know a lot. You were a coach.
I just been around too long. 3 years longer than you.
You were wrong.
Go ahead.
And
tell
I'm sure you know about military, paramilitary. I saw those guys down there, man, raising their national color, the flag up in the air.
Mm.
Man, horrible.
Dragon.
I know, we know about putting the flag in the air with your hat on.
Correct.
And salute it and turn it
over. Rest it over your shoulder and all kind of thing for it not to drag.
Raised in the air. Mr. Johnson, the flag is symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
The flag is a pride element. It signifies something, a national cause of Barbados.
The protocols
are I am saying, sir, that the guards need to be trained or need to be lectured and treat that material with some kind of dignity. Am I correct?
You are spot on with that. I know there are schools that teach their students, the cadets, scouts, the proper raising and lowering of flags. There are some schools that do it. There are even times where people attached to the military would call organizations, even ours, or a hotel and say, look, you have the flag out there torn and tattered, take it down. You know,
yeah.
It's after 6 o'clock. If you don't have a light on it, take it down. There's a time it's supposed to go up. There's a time it's supposed to come down. If you're flying another flag, it can't be higher than the national flag. So there are people who know this, and they tell you when they see it, because that's how they were trained. And boss, let me tell you something. They ain't ashamed to tell you when you're wrong, yeah?
You're telling me?
They will tell you brutally if they have to.
I tell you. Anyhow, yep. Before you go, Mr. Johnson, I just would like to tell you, you know, they say talk a lot. I'm calling you from one of the isolated
facilities
in Barbados, this COVID thing. And I must say that the treatment here, where I am, is excellent.
Good.
You're just home away from home, even though you're pending better
Test.
Results.
Mm-hmm.
But the phone is alongside my bed, television is on the wall.
Good.
And I eat 3 square meals a day.
You're paying for it, man. You're in a hotel, you're in a luxury hotel.
I got to give compliments to the government who's taking care of our COVID people.
Good.
We are being treated well, and we are praying to God for better results in the future.
Sir, I wish the best for you and your family and those with you in isolation. Please, you know, come out stronger than you went in.
But you know, Mr. Johnson, when I done talk to you, my feet jumping over the sky, man.
Yeah, don't do that yet. You might break the old bones.
Can't you hold on, Barstatt.
Sir, I try my best. Thanks a lot. It's good to hear from you. And as I say, take time and cure. It helps with the healing process when, you know, we talk about our issues and we could share our little aches and pains and laugh a little bit sometimes. Brastax, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
Yes, sir, I'm all right. And you?
I don't know if to be frustrated or not.
Well,
but I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm calling because I want to be quick. I don't want to take up too much time.
Mm-hmm.
I was tested for COVID on Saturday morning. I actually got there early, about 7:30, so I was number 24 in the line. And to get straight to the point, this is now 5 days later, and I haven't received any results.
Reply.
You know, I call COVID testing on Monday. I called Bessie Santos yesterday. I called COVID testing, but again yesterday. Today I called Ministry of Health, and I also called Eunice Gibson Polyclinic. I gave all of them my name, my ID number, my email address, my telephone number, just to make sure that all of my
information is there.
Information was accurate. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't received a result. I'm at home. I'm in quarantine. I want to do it the right way. I don't want to breach. You know, since I had the test done, they had 3 postings of results, positive results. There was 211, 37, and now 100. You know, and I can't go to work. You know, I can't leave home. You know, I have things to do, but I'm trying to do it the right way and not leave home. But, you know, I think 5 days is a bit long. I admire the professionals. You know, I don't want to be hard on them. Mm-hmm. They're doing an excellent job. I know that with the whole thing, you know, there's been a lot of pressure. But, you know, I think 5 days is quite a long time.
Sir, I have to tell you, I have seen a number of WhatsApp messages here. I can't tell you how many because I've lost count, maybe 5, 4, more than that. There was a lady who called, somebody else who said they're sending on behalf of a friend. I can only assume that the Best Dos Santos testing facility or whatever other testing facilities there may be, or even with the increase in persons and the 24 hours that the minister mentioned, that they are simply overwhelmed, that they cannot accurately test and get the information out within a 24 or 48 hour period. I think therefore it is important for the peace of mind of those who are awaiting results, those who are paying at, you know, places of quarantine, locals, returning nationals, visitors, I'm not differentiating, those who are at home, those who are isolating themselves from their families, those who are concerned about the spread, that they are assured either by calls, public messages, private messages onto their emails, set up a system that puts people's minds at rest while we try to get a handle on the results. The fact that we went from 37 to 51 to 100 means, or whatever the figures are, that we are having more cases, there is more testing being done, and therefore people are anxious about their results. And we need to have another way of communicating with them to at least assure them that we're working on it, that we're halfway through, that we've completed, we're trying to compile whatever it is we're doing. Yesterday, when there were no calls and Corey was struggling a little bit because of telecommunications issues, I joined him on the radio to just throw in the fact that when we were fighting the HIV/AIDS pandemic, which was another pandemic, there were the Prime Minister at the time said it was not a health issue, it was an economic issue. We had a secretariat set up, we had public messages, we had private sector involvement, we had Live Up campaigns. We did all sorts of things to try to sensitize the public. This is causing the same type of anxiety, and people want to know their results because it is important to their lives. And sir, I could only join you in a plea that we try to get the message out to people who are waiting on results, whether they're positive or whether they need to be, you know, isolated some more. In other words, they go into government care in St. Lucie or wherever they're being isolated, because it is worrying when you don't know. It really is twice as worrying, sir. Yeah.
My final concern is that, you know, this is only my first test.
Right.
So if it is that, you know, I'm negative and
5 days behind.
Yeah. You know, that's another 5 days waiting.
Another 10, another 5 years. That. Yeah, yeah.
Another 10. So this is about two weeks
that you lost.
Before working.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, right. I join you in making the plea. I hope they're hearing the plea. I really do hope they're hearing the plea, and that there is some response, public if necessary, privately to the people concerned. If it's too time consuming to call people, then let's have some public messages again, assuring the public that this is what we're working on, this is how far we are, this is where the holdup is, and we're doing our best to try to get those results, because we've heard 3 days, 2 days, 5 days, we're hearing some, you know, long periods. And I saw a list being circulated of places that are supposedly closed to test their staff. And then people talking about shutdown. The country will shut itself down if we got to keep waiting 6 and 7 and 8 days for even results that come back negative in the first instance. And then, you know, another 5 days in the second instance. Sir, I commiserate with you. And I hope you try to, you know, make it through this period. I hope you get a call soon. Because I could understand your anxiety. I really can. Not knowing is not a good thing. Thanks for the call, sir. I think it adds to the list that I have here that's growing. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's worrying. Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And you?
All right. You know, your call about the high water watermark. It's all a bit of my standard because I was about to recommend the Coastal Zone Management Unit.
They have a website that gives the information if people want to do that. If they don't want to call, they could go to the websites and they would see the information there.
There was a time that all Barbadian teachers were in great demand to go to the United States to teach, right? Remember that time?
Mm-hmm. Not only the United States, other places too, yeah.
Right, well,
plenty of people poach us.
Yeah, after watching what I saw on CNN yesterday, I now see why. It's all unfolding before my eyes. I'm going to further with it.
All right, sir.
Now, I'm entitled to my opinion, and my opinion might not necessarily be right. It might not necessarily be wrong.
There's no such thing as a right or wrong opinion, so it's just an opinion.
Right. Now,
I can agree or disagree.
I'm a doctor. I'm a medical practitioner, any kind of way.
Now, neither.
I'm a person for support that asks to see their record. If there isn't a record, if it's a first offender, obviously won't be created.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, people are sentenced based on their records.
Among other things.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember when Dr. Salisbury spoke about the AIDS and what would happen. I don't call the names neither. But I remember what I saw on television, how that doctor was snubbed. I somehow, for some reason, feel that we are not being told everything. And I can leave that there, too. I can leave that there.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Be good. You too, buddy. Take care.